This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
Okay, I hope you brought your shovel today because we are going to dig deep and we're going to take a look behind the scenes at the temptation of Jesus. I'm going to show you how to beat temptation like Jesus did. And then on the next Vintage Truth Podcast, I'm going to give you Jesus' personal battle plan for fighting temptation. And it's all straight out of Scripture, straight out of God's Vintage Truth. And that's what we're going to do here in the next couple of podcasts. Hey, I want to say a special thank you to those who are helping this podcast out by praying for it. There's three ways you can help this podcast. Number one, you can pray for it, which please do that. I need all the prayer I can get. Second thing is you share this podcast. You can share it on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter or on any social media platform or anywhere that you see people. Just tell people about, hey, you need to listen to this guy's podcast. Not because of me, but because of the truth that God uses in this podcast to change lives. So pray, share, and then give if you can. Maybe just a few dollars a month. Maybe it's just $10 a month or $20 a month or whatever it is God lays in your heart. You say, Jeff, I want to get behind you. I want to make sure that you continue to publish and produce these excellent podcasts. And that's exactly what I plan to do. And your gift, no matter how small, helps me do that. And every single dollar counts. So thank you so much for being willing to come along beside me, partner with me, and I hope it's helping you in the process. So praise God. All right, let's get into this thing. We're going to talk about what happened to Jesus Christ, when it happened, and some of the methods that Satan uses. We're going to talk about here in just a minute the timing of Satan's temptations, and then secondly, the strategy of his temptations. So Satan's timing and Satan's strategy. First of all, let's talk about this. There are a lot of questions that people have about temptation because people want to know, hey, am I wrong for being tempted? I mean, sometimes you feel guilty, don't you, when you face a certain temptation? Sometimes the temptation just drops out of the sky. And you're like, where did that come from? But it's a genuine lure. It's a genuine, like, desire. At least it's putting its hooks in you. You go, yeah, that sounds good. And it may be everything from anger to lust to anxiety to trying to run ahead of God or trying to be in control of people or whatever it is for you. I mean, there are many ways that people are tempted. But we're going to break down here just a little bit how those temptations sometimes break down along about three lines that Satan used with Jesus. So just know that temptation is common. In fact, the scripture tells us that no temptation has overcome us, but such as is common to man. In other words, every temptation is something that someone else has been tempted with before. And the scripture even tells us, 1 Corinthians 10:13, by the way, that God will never, never allow any temptation to come into your life beyond what you are able through his power to endure and to escape it. That's God's promise, and that we can endure through it. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. So God doesn't promise that we will not be tempted, but God is the gatekeeper on what temptations come our way in terms of allowing it or not allowing it. And he's never going to allow any temptation to come into your life where you say, I couldn't help myself. Well, yeah, you could, but God wants you to know that he's not going to let that happen. So how often does temptation occur? Many, many times a day on many different levels. I mean, there can be temptation in the mind, temptation in the heart, temptation with our emotions, temptations with our choices. There's so many different areas in which we are tempted. And you know what? It's very interesting. While there are just, you know, some basic common areas that we're all tempted in, how you are tempted and to what degree you are tempted may vary from person to person. In fact, it does vary from person to person. You know, some people are tempted more with alcohol abuse than others are. You know, I spoke this morning to someone who is struggling with that very issue, and you know, he struggles in a certain way, and that maybe you don't struggle. So we all have these different degrees, and that's why, you know, humanity is just so fluid and so varied, and we flow back and forth. So many times a day you're going to be tempted. Is it a sin to be tempted? No, absolutely not. How do we know that? Because Christ was genuinely tempted. That's what we're talking about here in these podcasts. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do in resisting the devil and temptation is just to simply be prepared for it. And that's what these podcasts are going to do for you, okay? So Think about Satan coming to Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at a passage here in Luke chapter 4. In Luke 4, we have the account of the temptation of Christ. And there's also a parallel account there in Matthew chapter 4 as well, that if you wanted to cross-reference and do some extra study on this thing, you could do that. So Matthew chapter 4 is the other temptation, but or the other account there. But he says here, it says in verse 4, verse 1 of Luke, says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the wilderness." So the Holy Spirit led Christ in the wilderness. And that tells us something very important about Christ right off the bat. This is kind of a hidden clue here, although it's sitting here in plain English here. Christ was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't tempted by the Holy Spirit, but he was led to a place where he was going to be tempted and to be tested. And this tells us something very important about Jesus, and this is what it says. It tells us that Christ depended upon the Holy Spirit. In other words, the God-man, the uniqueness of the God-man, that Christ had dual nature. He had divine nature, he had human nature. Although his human nature was not tainted with original sin. At the miracle of the Immaculate Conception with the Holy Spirit was that Christ had a fully human nature, but without the sin. But he also retained his deity. He didn't give up his deity when he became the Son of Man. His incarnation did not strip him of his godhood, of his godness, okay? He voluntarily laid aside some of those things for a while so that he could depend upon the Father as the perfect Adam, as the second Adam, so that in essence he could, quote-unquote, earn the right to die for our sins. Because had Jesus committed one single sin in his humanity, then he would have automatically disqualified himself for being our Savior, because then he would need someone to die for his sin, because he would need a Savior. But Christ didn't do that. And there is a mystery here that theologians have never really been able to fully explain, that there's this mysterious way in which Christ was fully God, he was fully man, and his temptation was real. It had to be real in order for him to be able to identify with us. And this is a point of a very important doctrinal point here, because you ask the question, was Jesus simply able not to sin, or was he not able to sin? And the answer is both, really. There is no way Jesus Christ was going to sin. But in the beauty of the perfection of the life in which Jesus Christ lived, he absolutely nailed it every second of every day and obeyed the Father and was led by the Spirit and never committed any sin, nor was any deceit ever found in his mouth. And that qualified him, quote unquote, to be our Savior, to be a worthy substitute. That's part of what the book of Hebrews talks about. In fact, in Hebrews 4:15, it says this, says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." So there is this theological mystery here about Jesus being fully God and fully man, but him being led into the wilderness, what that does, that tells us that he is choosing to depend upon the Father. Lord, where do you want me to go? Holy Spirit, where do you... And so he leads him into the wilderness where he is going to be tempted by Satan. And he spent 40 days being tempted by the devil. I read that, I go, wait a minute, did I read that right? For 40 days, he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. So you think it's tough to face a certain temptation that may kind of make its way around your neighborhood, the neighborhood of your heart, every now and then. Jesus was bombarded with everything Satan had in his arsenal. And he did that for 40 days. And it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 2, that Christ ate nothing during those days. He ate nothing during those days. So he's fasting. And of course, you know, biblical fasting is not simply going without food and then posting it on Instagram. That's not biblical fasting, okay? Biblical fasting is a time set aside where you focus in on your relationship with God to be able to cleanse your mind, to fill your mind with the Word of God, meditating in prayer, scriptural meditation in prayer on the Word of God and filling your mind with Scripture and that type of thing. That's what biblical fasting is. And obviously, we can do intermittent biblical fasting as well. We can do parts of the day where we fast as well. But Jesus was fasting for 40 days. And that had this impact on him, both positive and negative. The positive impact is what we're going to see here as the story progresses. The negative impact was that he got really hungry, as you might imagine. Although, as I've been through periods when I've done something similar to this, not 40 days, I'm not nowhere near that spiritual. But when you go for a while without food and you treat your body right, you don't just deny yourself all food. But if when you go for a while for fasting, you begin to lose your appetite for certain things. You know, when you fast from, let's say you fast from soft drinks for a couple of months, and then all of a sudden someone offers you a Dr. Pepper and you taste it, and it just feels like you're drinking syrup, you know? And you sort of lose the need for certain foods and for really a lot of food. And that's one of the benefits of fasting. But it says here that after 40 days, the end of verse 2 says, he became hungry. That's like the understatement of the year. And it was during that time the devil came to Christ. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, then tell this stone out here, this baking in the Judean wilderness here, you tell this stone to become bread. By the way, this word, if you are the Son of God, should more accurately be translated since. The devil knew who he was. He didn't. The devil's theology is pretty on point, okay? Especially concerning the Christology of Jesus. So he says, since you are the Son of God, why don't you just tell this stone here to become bread? Now, before we get into how Christ responded, let's make a couple of observations. Let's think about the timing of Satan's attacks on Christ. Notice he came to him when he was in a period of being vulnerable and weak. And all throughout this process here, as Christ is fasting, he's becoming more and more vulnerable and more weak. So he attacks his hunger here. Why? Well, it's because Christ hadn't eaten for 40 days. So you think maybe Jesus may also have been tired from being in the desert this long as well? So the principle that we can accurately draw from this story is that temptation often comes to us when we are weak and vulnerable. There may be times when you are physically weak. Maybe you've come off an incredible work week or time at home with family, or you've spent time working around the house, or you've been through a very stressful time in your life and you've just been working really hard. You're physically weak and you just don't have the spiritual antibodies to really fight back when temptation comes along. Maybe you have eaten, maybe you hadn't slept. So temptation comes during when we're physically weak. It also comes when we're strained emotionally, when we're experiencing a lot of stress, and we want a kind of a release valve to release some of that stress. And Satan comes to us and he begins to poke around in those areas of weakness. And as I said earlier, that may be anger, explosive anger for some people. It may be trying to medicate in some way. It may be through sexual temptation. It may be through retreating in an unhealthy way from people and from relationships. I mean, there's a lot of temptations, but when we're physically weak, when we're strained emotionally, and also when we are financially strapped, I mean, there are times in life when you're just really wondering how we're going to pay the bills, or you've encountered an unexpected expense, and all of a sudden that little thing you'd put aside in your checkbook or in your savings account is just draining out day by day because of this. Maybe it's a medical expense, maybe it's something you have to do in your house or whatever, or maybe it's just you're just not making the money. Maybe you're on commission and you're not making the kind of money that you had hoped you would. Or maybe you're just in between times when you're making money. And so there's the financial stress. So that temptation comes to us. And I think it's very important that we recognize that for ourselves. Know yourself well enough to know when you're most vulnerable. And it may be for you, it's like, hey, when I spend too much time by myself, I get really vulnerable and weak. Or when I don't refresh myself or get enough sleep, or when I don't do fun, playful things to kind of reboot my mind and my body and my spirit, my emotions and that kind of thing. When I don't have time, spending good time, quality time with the people that I love, you know, I get into this weak state. You have to know yourself well enough to know what to avoid and what to look out for. And just like traveling down the road, you see these signs that says, you know, watch out for potholes or whatever. You need those signs in your life. We all do, to tell us what's ahead. Hey, look out. You haven't slept in a while. Don't even go into that situation right now. You need sleep, or you need spiritual refreshing, and you need some time in prayer. You need some really reboot time with some people that you love, you know? So that's one of the things that Satan does. But here's another kind of interesting twist to this as well. When you go over to Matthew chapter four, what we find out is that Satan didn't just tempt Jesus in the wilderness while he was weak, but the timing of it was that he tempted him after he had had a great victory. In other words, Satan sometimes comes after us when we've just experienced a win, all right? You say, what are you talking about, Jeff? Well, in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17, we have the account of the baptism of Jesus. And the baptism of Jesus was the inauguration. It was the public announcement. It was the ministry reveal party for Jesus' public ministry. And that is when the Bible says that after he was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Man, this was a huge launch to the ministry of Jesus Christ. This was the official thing, the launching of the ministry of the Messiah that the Jews had waited for thousands of years, or for over 1,000 years. And all of a sudden, it's there. I mean, this is the moment, right? This is announcing the Messiah is here. And so he had just had this huge victory, and coming right off this victory, off of the high of that victory, he goes right into the wilderness. So sometimes Satan attacks us when we're really weak, but sometimes he waits until we have a time of celebration, a time of where we have that big win in our life. And that may be something great in a relationship for you. That may be something with your family, or something with your job, or something going on at church or whatever. But you should experience this win. Why does Satan do that? Well, because of this. He knows that it's during those times when we have just won, we've just fought a battle and won, right? That we tend to let our guard down. And we tend to sort of coast spiritually. I mean, I don't know about you, but after a big victory, I relax. I mean, I physically relax. I go, whew, I'm glad that thing's over with. When I finish a huge manuscript, I celebrate. I mean, but those times of victories are also times when Satan can sneak in, and with his timing, where you may not be worn out and you may not be stressed out, you may not be emotionally wrung out, but you may be really coming off a big victory. You may think, I think I got this. I just won this game. I think I can win this game. And all of a sudden, that's the game you lose. I mean, you see this all the time in athletics, where you come off a win, then you think, okay, we're just playing, you know, East Tennessee State Business College or something, you know, and the home of the Mighty Typewriters or something, you know, that's their mascot. You think, well, we're going to slaughter these guys. And they're the Cinderella team. They end up beating you, and you're like ranked in the top 10 or whatever. It happens. So that's the whole Cinderella story, right? Well, that's what happens in our spiritual lives, is that sometimes we come off these great victories and we end up feeling like, I think I can handle anything. There's nothing I don't think I can handle. And all of a sudden Satan goes, oh, we'll see about that. And that's when he comes in with his temptations. Now that's a part of how Satan works with his timing, okay? But let me just say this before we move on. Satan is one entity, and he's a pretty strategic character. I mean, he's very focused on what he does. I mean, he's the guy that's going to inhabit the Antichrist. Satan himself may have probably has not tempted you personally or me, but he has, who knows, untold millions of demons that have done that. So your temptation, if it's come from a spiritual source, it probably came from a demon, and not Satan himself? I mean, Satan kind of reserves himself for to really tempt the big guys, right? But here's the point. It's real, it's spiritual, and Satan uses strategic timing in figuring out when to come in and attack you. So know yourself well enough to know when those attacks might be coming. And sometimes they're sniper attacks. You don't know they're coming, so watch out for those too. Hey, next time we're going to talk about Satan's strategy and we'll point out how he works.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.